In an age when cookies trace your wanderings around the web and radio scanners can pluck phone calls out of the air, the following item sounds like a technological throwback. According to the National Law Journal, law enforcement's use of the investigative tool known as the mail cover is on the rise. In the year 2000, the last entire year for which there are data, more than 14,000 mail covers were used. That was 60% higher than 5 years earlier. Michael Ravnitsky reported this story for the National Law Journal. Mr. Ravnitsky, first, what is a mail cover exactly?
Robert, a mail cover is an investigative tool used by the post office and other federal agencies to record the information on the outside of envelopes sent to and from a suspect or in a criminal investigation. In the old days, they could open the envelopes, but today they just examine the outsides of the envelopes to find out postmarks and addresses and so on.
No court warrant required for this? No court order?
There's no court or judicial oversight required for this.
Does this mean that any law enforcement officer can go into any post office and say, we would like to look at Mr. Jones's mail and what Mr. Jones sends out in the way of mail?
Essentially, yes. They fill out a form. The form goes up to the Postal Inspection Service, and it gets approved at a middle level within the Postal Inspection Service. And then the post office in the locality records all the information.
What could the FBI, in theory at least, or other federal law enforcement agencies learn from just looking at addresses and return addresses and postmarks?
Well, for example, they might be able to locate fugitives who write to family members. They might be able to trace property through bank letters, and they may be able to find tax fraud or forfeitable property for the IRS.
What were you able to find out in the way of explanation for why this practice should have increased so much between 1995 and 2000?
Well, the best we can understand it is that word of mouth has among law enforcement officials has contributed to this. If a sheriff's office uses this in one investigation, their neighbors down the road might be more likely to use it in the future. And agencies tend to increase their numbers over time as they find out it's a successful technique.
But a successful technique implies that people have made cases or really gotten lots of leads based on mail covers. Any indication of that?
Well, we don't know because the mail cover information never makes it into court, and that's why the defense attorneys are largely unaware of this, as opposed to wiretapping, where that information that there was a wiretap conducted eventually does become learned in court.
You mean if I'm a prosecutor making a case, I can use information from the mail cover to find somebody and go there and get evidence, but I don't have to show that I got it through a mail cover in court?
The post office encourages prosecutors and law enforcement agencies not to mention mail covers in any public forum because they don't want the use of this investigative tool to be widely known.
And defense lawyers can't be terribly happy about that.
Well, the defense attorneys we talked to were largely unfamiliar with mail cover, other than historically they had heard about it being abused in the 20 or 30 years ago, but they were unfamiliar with its use today.
There is a long history to mail cover, and I gather the rules have not always been observed quite so well.
In 1975, they found a congressional investigation found that the various agencies had opened a couple of 100,000 letters to and from various countries, and because of that, the rules were changed, and the abuses have apparently stopped. We didn't find any evidence of any abuses, but there is no oversight, and so we would have no way of knowing if such abuses are taking place today.
Well, Michael Ravnitsky, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Robert.
Michael Ravnitsky and fellow staff reporter Elizabeth Amon reported on the use of mail covers for the National Law Journal. Mr. Ravnitsky spoke to us from New York.